Let me invite Blaine to come up one more time and read the Bible for us from the first book of the Bible, book of Genesis, the last chapter. If you have a Bible, let's turn there together. If it's on your phone or some sort of device, take it out. This is Genesis chapter 50, beginning at verse 15.
When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God, your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph stayed in Egypt along with all his father's family. He lived 110 years and saw the third generation of Ephraim's children. Also, the children of Machir, son of Manasseh, were placed at the birth on Joseph's knees. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am about to die, but God will surely come to your aid and take you up out of this land to the land he promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Then God made the Israelites swear an oath and said, "God will surely come to your aid. Then you must carry my bones up from this place." So Joseph died at the age of 110. After they embalmed him, he was placed in a coffin in Egypt. This is the word of God, the Lord God.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Blaine. I hope you've had a sense that we've had quite the week here this past week at Nelson Avenue with our kids' camp. I was so thankful for the video that we saw and the songs that the kids sang. And again, I want to thank Mavi and her team. And one of the things about the team that I noticed this year was that we had people helping us who have been at Nelson Avenue 25 or 30 years. And we also had people helping us out who have only been here a few weeks or a few months or less than a year. And so I was thankful to see that kind of diversity in the eager volunteers that we had here this past week. I also feel like I want to say thank you to the youth. They sang and danced and jumped and led games and crafts and set up and cleaned up. They did all kinds of stuff. So the youth who were there, thank you so much. Now we focused, as you can, by the banners and by the songs and by the things you've seen, we focused on the story of Joseph. Which is found in the Bible, the first book of the Bible. It's an amazing story. And we've been looking at that story also here at Nelson Avenue on Sunday mornings during the months of July and also this month of August. So we've been kind of dovetailing the story of Joseph on Sunday mornings and then also this past week at kids' camp. And one image that I had, even listening to the song, "I get down, he lifts me up, I get down," I thought Joseph's life was like a roller coaster. You know, he was up. He was the favored son. He was given this special coat. And then he goes down, sold into slavery by his brothers who, the Bible tells us, hate him. And then in some ways, he's up again. God blesses him in Egypt. He's working for a man named Potiphar. God's blessing Potiphar's house through Joseph. But then he's unjustly accused and he goes to prison and he's down again. And then in prison, the blessing of God stays with him. Doesn't matter where Joseph goes, God's blessing goes with him. And he interprets the dreams of two prisoners there correctly. And he tells the one prisoner who he knows is going to live, because the other one's not going to live, but this one is going to live and regain his job with the king of Egypt, with the Pharaoh. He says, "Don't forget about me. I'm here in Egypt. I'm here in prison. I've been unfairly accused. Don't forget about me." But the man, so happy to get his job back, for 2 years forgets about Joseph. And Joseph is down again. And then finally, you know, wonder of wonders, Pharaoh or the cupbearer remembers Joseph. The Pharaoh calls him. Joseph interprets more dreams. And he's given this amazing place of leadership to save not just himself and Pharaoh's family and all of Egypt, but the nations around Egypt from the upcoming famine. And one thing, I was so amazed by this, one thing I learned this past week from the kids is that Joseph got a new name when he was in Egypt. And I was so amazed that some kids actually knew that name. So for the kids who still remember, what was the name that Joseph was given when he was in Egypt? Zephanath Paneah. Not a name we say very often. I had to look it up. What does it mean? I didn't know until I looked it up. So in case you're on Wi-Fi there and you're looking it up, this is what the name should mean, I think. At least one interpreter said it means God speaks and God lives, which I found interesting because as Pharaoh was listening to Joseph interpret his dreams, really God was speaking to Pharaoh about the future of his country. Now, this past week we had a theme verse, and Blaine just read that in the whole passage he was reading. There was one verse that was the theme verse. And I want to invite Grace to come up quickly and lead us in the theme verse, Genesis 50, verse 20. We have some actions with it. And kids, if you remember the actions, Grace will lead us, but let's try and learn this verse together.
All right. So the verse goes, "For you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And we've got some actions to that. So if you have been to VBS this past week, make sure you do the actions with me so we can help everybody else out. So it goes like this. "For you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." All right.
Let's do it again.
So if you didn't do it, please try to do it with me. "For you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." That's from Genesis 50, verse 20.
All right. Grace, thank you. So Joseph is saying these words to his brothers, because his brothers are worried that now that their father Jacob has died, maybe the family is going to fracture. Maybe the family is going to break up, and Joseph is going to seek revenge on his brothers for all the things they have done to him. And Joseph amazingly is trying to reassure them, "I'm not seeking revenge on you. I don't have plans to get back at you. Rather, I know you intended to harm me. But God, as I look back, God intended the same thing for good." And for me, that's amazing. For Joseph to say words like this to people who wanted to kill him, forget about him, in some ways throw him away, throw him to the dogs, be rid of him, that he's able years later to say words like this. And as Joseph looks back on his life, I think I want to make a big point of this. He doesn't say, "Don't worry about it. It was just a small thing. Or let's just sweep that under. Let's not even talk. Shh. Let's not even talk about what you did." He doesn't do that. He says, "You did intend to harm me. Let's make no bones about it." In fact, the word that's used there in the Hebrew, if I can just use the Hebrew for a few moments, is the word evil. "You intended to do evil against me." That's true. And the word there, and I want to make a little deal about this because I think it helps me remember what the word means. The word in Hebrew is ra. "You intended to ra me." which when I hear that, I think about a bear or a lion, right? That's what his brothers were like to Joseph. We want to kill you, throw you in this pit, we're going to sell you into slavery. We're like a bear or a lion, rah, doing evil against their brother. So Joseph is not mincing words. He's telling them, this is what you did, but God was involved in the same action, bringing good, lifting me eventually out of my slavery, out of the pit, out of the prison, and giving me that incredible leadership. And this is more than simply just a kind of a perspective on life, but I want to suggest it's a perspective on who God is. God is like this. God comes into Joseph's life and in the lives of many other people, and he's always intending good. He takes things that are made out of the dust, he takes moments that are meant for evil, and he makes beautiful things out of those moments, out of those events. And here also Joseph is saying, God has done that for me. Evil was intended, but God worked it all for good, not again just for me, but for many other people. And this verse, Genesis 50:20, I hope we can remember it. It's a verse that is a theme verse for our kids' camp. It's a verse that is a summary verse for Joseph's life. It summarizes the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, but it also summarizes the whole story of the Bible. This is what God is doing over and over and over and over again. Like in the very beginning, the evil one, the serpent, comes in God's good creation. He wants to bring evil against Adam and Eve and the whole good creation. And God in that moment promises, one day I'm going to send someone who's going to stamp out the evil one. It's going to step on the head of the evil one. I think about the story of Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi, also in the Old Testament. It looks like all is lost. The father has died, the sons have died, the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law return to Bethlehem with really nothing. And God works in that to bring about life and good. I think about Esther. She and her people are facing death. And through Esther's courage, God brings about life. He brings about good. And this is the story of the Bible over and over and over again. And it climaxes in that story just outside the city of Jerusalem, a little hill. We sometimes call it the crucifixion or the cross, the death of Jesus. We could call it the Day of Atonement, the day of forgiveness for the sins of the world. This past week, I want to call it the greatest day, the greatest event in history. We were singing the one song this week, One Way. And I think it starts, how does it start again? Greatest day in history. Oh, happy day. Okay, well, it was one of the songs, I think we sang it, didn't we? Did we sing it this past week? Greatest day in history. And I was trying to ask the kids, what is the greatest day in history? And there could be different responses to that, but the Bible says the greatest day or the greatest event was the event where people were trying and actually did harm the Son of God. They concocted a plan to bring evil against Jesus and try and thwart the plan of God. But on that greatest day or the greatest event, God was at work bringing Jesus alive. He was bringing good. He was bringing good, not just to Jesus alive, but good to all those who would follow this Jesus. So Joseph can say, you intended to rot me, do evil against me. God intended it for good. And Jesus can say the same thing. You did do evil against me, But God my Father meant it for good, the saving of many lives. And I'm hoping this morning that a number of us, I hope all of us, can take a verse like this and say, yes, Joseph, and yes, other stories in the Bible, and yes, Jesus, but also it's my life. That Genesis 50 verse 20 is also about my life. That there are times where others are wanting to harm me. The Bible oftentimes speaks about, it looks like it's maybe other people, but there are spiritual forces wanting to harm you. Sometimes we ourselves bring harm, maybe in our own lives, the lives of others, we bring evil. But then we also recognize God's at work, wonderfully, mysteriously bringing good. Always, always, always working for our good and the good of others. And that sounds, I know it sounds like maybe pious mumbo jumbo to some of us. We might say, how can people in Italy, after an earthquake, believe a verse like this, or hear a verse like this? Or for some of us this morning, you know, where is the good in the sickness of my child? Or where is the goodness in the sickness of my nephew? Or where is the goodness of God in the death that just happened in our family? And I recognize that so often, it's so difficult to say a verse like this one on the screen, believe it, in those moments. I recognize Joseph can say this as he looks back over the years, what's happened to him. So for those of us who are in moments like that, sometimes it's the story of someone else who says, I went through that. Someone or something was trying to harm me, do evil against me, and I've seen God bring good. But also really important for us to hear the stories of the Bible, and I suggest it's relentless in the Bible how often God does this. If you start reading with this verse in the background, you read the stories of the Bible, it happens again and again and again. But especially in that greatest event or that greatest day, the greatest evil or the greatest injustice ever done was done against Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if we can believe it was the day of greatest evil, but it was the day of greatest good, if God could do that in that moment, He can also do it for me or for us.